This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
I have a very special guest today, Matthew Hickey. He is the co-founder of Hacker.House. Matthew, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So you know more about hacking than most people. And you've even shown me some things that I don't know if I want to put on camera. But
okay.
Tell us what's going on in the world of hacking and maybe help educate our viewers as to what they might want to do to get one step ahead of the next threat.
Well, I think that we're seeing a lot of the same kinds of attacks that corporations are seeing and the general public and individuals are seeing themselves. Hacking is continually pushing out new attacks and new ways of monetizing computer resources. So ransomware, a big heavy push in financial drive to monetize hacking attacks and hacking attempts, because it's kind of driving a new cyber crime wave, effectively. You know, people are making a lot of money out of this, and unfortunately, it's not as complicated or as difficult for them to do as we'd like. So
there was an attack recently on a company called Dyn, and they're one of the DNS providers for Spotify and Twitter. East coast of the U.S. was taken down for a little while on the internet, and the attack was very interesting. What happened was somebody wrote some malware to exploit a vulnerability in wireless routers that are in cable, people's homes from cable operators. And then those wireless routers, or routers, as we say in England, they were connecting to Dyn in such frequent connections and flooding, and people weren't even home using their cable modems, that it caused about 700 megs a second of traffic, and they weren't prepared for that. And I've heard a lot of the DDoS equipment, it now has to go up to a gig a second. Why does that kind of thing happen, and who would write that kind of code?
So that kind of code can be written by all kinds of individuals. Perhaps sometimes it's done by hobbyist researchers, other times it's done by curious individuals, but increasingly more common, that kind of code is written by people whose intention is to disrupt service, who is to monetize in some way. Sometimes it might start small and innocuous, I want to take out a couple of systems, but once that kind of starts to drive into something bigger and can grow then into a business, it's very easy to see how someone with a bit of skill could perhaps fall on the wrong path and pursue crime as opposed to more legitimate income.
So
skill would have.
Once they've created this DDoS botnet, they actually can rent them out, and this is a monetization?
Yes, of course. So, cybercrime is like any other business, really. It's a subject to profit, subject to loss. Attackers, they get defeated by Lockheed Martin's kill chain because it accurately looks at the cost metrics for people launching attacks as well. The problem with things like IoT and DDoS attacks is that, these botnets are being built with admin 12345. I mean, I recall the attack you were speaking of and the method of propagation. This wasn't somebody writing remote advanced heap overflows, requiring all kinds of things. It was very basic telnet, admin 12345 6, and this mass proliferation of integrated smart technology that's wide open to these very basic attacks. It's an easy playground. It's an easy cutting your teeth ground for inexperienced criminals to mass attack a platform, and immediately you have a load of bandwidth. The attacker's next thought is, how can I make money from this? Is it intercepting the traffic? Is it using that traffic to overload other systems? Is it the data on the network? And then strategically, can I rent those out to other cyber criminals? If you look at things like the various breaches at Equifax and other environments, these attacks happen by inexperienced hackers. They then share that, I found a SQL injection, I found a vulnerability in this target. That's then picked up by a more advanced organized group who can then interject and perform those attacks against the adversary. So, it kind of feeds into an ecosystem, really, that is at the very bottom end of that is the people that are performing these DDoS as a service, this kind of malicious criminal intent that's just, let's take companies offline and extort them and do ransom attacks.
Now, good guys like you who are trained as white hat hackers, you could actually go after the bug bounty programs to help these people harden their networks. But you're saying kind of the black hats will find a bug and sell it on the dark web to a more serious organization.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the commodity value of vulnerability information, it's a valuable commodity now. Data really is power. Systems and the information that they hold can be critical and crucial to a business. So all of your business processes and your ICT needs, you only have to look at the city of Atlanta and the attacks that happened there and how that crippled the capability of that city to function. These systems, we have a much more of a need for them today. We've become so dependent on them that, when they are targeted and they are attacked, we will pay any amount of money to get them back online because we need them for our day-to-day lives.
So does Hacker.House train us so that we won't be a dumb smart city? In other words, a smart city that gets victimized and goes down?
So HackerHouse, we're a training company. So we provide hands-on hacking courses where we effectively identified that there was a need to connect a lot of the theory that people were learning with a lot of the hands-on practical elements of what actually is entailed in breaching networks and accessing information, stealing data. So we, as a solutions-orientated company, we spent a lot of time looking at problems to try and see if we could find solutions to them. So one of the problems we looked at was training and how the existing training models were worked. And we tried to create something that allowed continuous learning, to allow students an environment to continue and grow those skills, to limit the class sizes directly, to ensure that there was a good transfer of knowledge, to give as much experience and as much information passed on to students in that time. And we know that you can't turn master hackers in 4 days, right? But what we can do is teach you the necessary basics and the methodological approach that is used in day-to-day testing practices. So we teach the core competencies of internal infrastructure, external infrastructure, web application, looking at a range of different varieties of exploits, how they function in a real-world setting. We don't dance around it. We teach people real-world practical skills that they could use to breach into networks. And we believe that that empowers people to understand how computers are broken, why they are flawed, so we can build better ones. So, it's about understanding where the risks are by breaking it apart, seeing how it works, and then putting it back together in a way that, maybe that's relevant to our job. We're database administrators. Understanding how that attacker works means I'm going to be able to build the right architecture to keep them out.
Speaking of which, and Hacker.House, you guys started in the UK, mm-hmm. and I believe you're expanding into the US, but ultimately you are online.
Yes. Yeah,
and so anybody could take your course at prescribed time. In the UK, we had the NHS breach.
Yep.
We had the SMB1 vulnerability floating around in Windows for too long. Mm-hmm. 1,400 computers get hit with something we would call a ransom worm. Mm-hmm. But it didn't ask for a lot of money. It didn't want a lot of money, and I was a little surprised. Did you think that was a nation-state attack? Did you ever look into that? I mean, attribution seems so difficult lately.
I mean, when nation-state groups play, they play with the goal of planting false flags. You only have to look at things that have come from Vault 7, from the Shadow Brokers leaks. I mean, some of the exploits that we've ripped apart and looked through and done our analysis on, they're forensically aware. They are designed to be used in field operations for the purposes of espionage. They are not toys designed for people to deface websites. These are active field operations tools with advanced, anti-heuristics, anti-behavioral analysis, anti-reverse engineering tricks. A lot of engineering time and money has gone into developing these kinds of capabilities. So when you have these kinds of elephants fighting, right, it's the ants that are getting squished. So it's our home consumers' routers, it's our personal firewalls, it's our desktops, and we're all getting swept up in this situation. So when WannaCry is launched, you have to look at it. Look, we called it, we said the payment method didn't work. We said it didn't work as a ransomware. It was buggy, there was problems with it. This shouldn't have been pushed out there. It looked like someone was just being disruptive. And when you have a window of time and the intelligence is lost and you know there's a time to do something, striking a lot of damage and causing a lot of disruption with a badly engineered worm that does damage, it made them some money. And maybe that was enough for them. Who knows? But they certainly caused more destruction than they did profits. Which makes you wonder why do it.
Can we be invisible ants if we go to Hacker.House and learn the right skills?
You can certainly learn how to stay away from women when they're stamping their feet.
That sounds great.
Excellent.
Well, this is an amazing interview. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I do. I want to tell our viewers something very special. Cyber Defense Magazine is partnering with Hacker.House, and we're going to launch a contest very soon. You're going to be able to apply to win one of their best classes that's valued at almost $2,000. And they're doing this as a gift for you. So please Check them out, learn more about them, and when we have this contest, don't miss out, sign up.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.